cliffcentral.com. Hey, I just found out you're not going to be in Texas next week. I'm flying in for South by Southwest. So it turns out President Obama is going to be in Austin at the same time I am. How's that, Sia?
Also around the conference or just in the city?
He's doing a Democratic Party fundraiser in Austin.
Yeah.
On one of the nights we're there. So maybe I'll go.
Oh, you'll be rubbing shoulders with Obese.
I would just have to... Apparently tickets are $250 at the low end. If you want a picture with him and you want to sit anywhere near the president, $10,000. Ben, what is that in rands? How much is that?
$16,300. How much?
No. $10,000.
Oh, sorry. $163,000 rand, probably.
No, just start hoping you bump into him at like In-N-Out or Wendy's or something.
Forget it.
Where does that money go?
Oh, it's for party fundraising. So they use it to buy campaign ads on TV. And he's obviously helping Hillary or Bernie, whoever wins. That's an interesting situation.
Like a benefit dinner kind of thing. And he's he's siphoning off some of that.
It's not for him. No, he gets nothing. But he's doing it at South by Southwest because you've got all these people from all over the world who are there for the music festival, the movie festival, the interactive festival. And then he, plugs in the greedy coffers of party politics, siphons off some cash. I'd love to see Obama, but I'm not going to pay that kind of money. And I don't have it, and even if I did, I don't think I would. Anyway, so listen. Ben was saying just now, he said some very, very nice things about ballet. You've seen you've been to the ballet, Ben?
Gareth, not physically to a ballet, but I've seen it. But it's just the movements, and that's what separates ballet from other general dances. The movements are so controlled and precise, and for that you need such incredible strength. If you ever just try stand in place, the most basic or whatever ballet movement, your whole body starts to quiver because you need not just strong legs, but core, everything needs to be aligned and in sync. It really is quite something to behold.
So if you're a guy like Leroy, who's an amazing dancer, you would have to be training, you would have to be practicing every day for hours on end from an early age. You can't just suddenly pick this up, go, oh, I'm 25 years old, I think I'm just going to do this.
As a basic thing, just try this today. Try to leap as far as you can and land on one leg and see how that works out for you. I mean, that's not even a ballet move.
Most people will break their foot.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff you need to be able to do and turn, and these movements are so dynamic.
Well, listen, it's a pleasure to have you here. Leroy Mokgatle. It's nice to meet you, man. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks, and you?
Cool. So how the hell did you get into ballet? I mean, when do you discover that you're any good at this kind of thing?
Well, I started in grade 2.
Yeah?
I started as like an extramural activity.
Yeah.
And then like a few years later, I saw what the world had to offer with ballet, and I just decided I wanted to take it seriously and make it a career.
It's not like it's one of those career paths that it's open to a lot of people, right?
No, not really.
Do you have to have someone who can take you under their wing, who can mentor you, who can show you the ropes, or do you figure it out yourself? How does it work?
I'll say it's like 50-50.
All right.
You definitely have to have a good mentor. You have to have someone that encourages you.
Yeah.
And someone that you kind of look up to.
How old are you now?
I'm 16 now.
16 years old?
Yeah.
Wow, dude. When did you start?
I started when I was in grade 2, so it's like 2007, kind of.
How old were you?
I was 7.
7?
Yeah.
7. It's a kind of child slavery, though, Sia, don't you think?
I was just thinking about what I was doing at grade 2 level. I was like eating crayons.
Yeah, 7. I was a complete moron. There was no way I could. Do you start dancing immediately? Do you realize that you have a flair for this thing? Have you got a certain body type that you need to have?
Definitely, yes. You do have to have a certain body type. You have to be muscular. You have to be flexible. You have to have good feet.
All right.
And like sometimes people don't have that like proper body. So you just have to work with what you have and hopefully.
But you can't be fat, right? Are there fat ballet dancers? Tell the truth.
Well, you can't be like chubby and fat. You can be like a little plumpish, which is will be okay. I mean.
Is there anyone here who has the body of a ballet dancer? Flax, come in here and show him what you look like. Sia, come in here quickly. Ben, stand up quickly. Could Ben be a ballet dancer?
Let's see.
Ben?
Not right now.
Do a little leap. Land on one foot, Ben.
Yes, he could.
He could? You reckon? Ben's going to do a leap.
Yes.
Let's see if he's any good.
Woo! Yes.
All right. Is that any good?
Yes, that is good.
Oh, wow. All right. Flax, what do you think? He's looking a bit chunky, right? What?
I definitely don't. I think my upper body's way too big.
No, you just need like, he'll just skip like for 15 minutes and then he'll be fine. He'll just skip like 15 minutes.
For 15 minutes.
I can do the whole lifting of people up very well.
Yes, that's
getting myself in the air is not going to be possible.
No.
But you can just a few squats a day, maybe. What just stretching your quads.
You have to have pretty good coordination, right?
Yes, you
and
do.
And you have to be aware, super aware of your body. This is the thing that makes dancers very sexy too, is that they know where their limbs are at all given times. They're aware of the distance between, you know, their feet or between their knee and their head or wherever they are in any position. Is that something that you just, you know, instinctively? Because I don't think that can be taught.
I don't think it can be taught. It has to kind of come naturally to you.
Yeah.
And it's definitely a lot of experience being on stage. Because, I mean, being on stage for the first time is just, you're like, oh, wow, I'm in costume, I'm in makeup, and there's people watching me, and there's lights, and these lights are so bright and stuff.
Yeah,
and you kind of concentrate more what's around you and not what you should be concentrating on. Like,
I heard, though, that when you chose your subjects, you saw ballet on the list and you actually chose it because you didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was. Yes, that's very true.
That's a lucky mistake.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it is.
Now, you have just received this very prestigious scholarship, and it's only the second to be awarded to a South African in 44 years.
Yes.
And this is the first in South Africa in 28 years. What is the scholarship called?
Well, the Prix de Lausanne competition gives you a scholarship.
The Prix de Lausanne competition,
yeah,
which is held in Switzerland, right?
Yes, that's true. Gives you like a scholarship, and I got the fourth one. So scholarship number four. So if number three and number two or number one chooses the same school or junior company that I want to go to, I have to resort to another school.
But so that's even school number 43 would probably be amazing, right?
Oh, no. So there's seven scholarships, and then you get awarded whichever number. So I got number four.
Okay, what does that mean?
So if scholarship number one, two, or three chooses the school that I want to go to, I have to choose another school because number three...
Right, would be taken.
Yeah.
But these could be schools all over the world?
This could be... Well, you have a list. Prix de Lausanne gives you a list of schools.
Where
that
have
you
chosen?
Choose from. At the moment, I'm not trying to rush into things. I don't want to rush into things. I just want to finish school.
Okay.
And we'll see what happens from there.
Would you go to Russia or to Switzerland or to England? What are you kind of feeling country-wise?
I'm more interested like in the Netherlands.
Oh, in Holland. Okay.
Yeah, in Holland and like Dutch national.
Now, apparently you are a phenomenon. I mean, people are talking about you winning the junior male bronze medal in the Youth American Grand Prix New York Finals in 2014, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you got to tell me about these things. You triumphed at the esteemed Genève International Ballet Competition in London. You won the gold medal.
Yeah.
What are you just? Are you just super talented? Do you pull moves that no one else can? Are you able to learn quicker than anyone? What do you think the key is here?
I just think, like, at the moment, dance is kind of starting to be like a sport. Like, you must do as many turns as you can. You must jump higher than someone else.
Oh.
I think we as dancers just need to remember that we dance from the heart.
What do your parents make of this? Are they blown away by how well you're doing?
Ooh, in the beginning, they were not keen on this at all. They were not keen on this. They didn't want me to do this. They wanted me to play cricket, soccer, and then...
Where are you from? Where were you born?
I was born in Rustenburg, and then I moved to Pretoria for my primary schooling and stuff.
No, there's not a lot of ballet in Rustenburg, right?
No, there's not.
So are your parents... I mean, what did they do?
Well, my mom passed on in 2010.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. And I never knew my dad. So
really?
I live with my extended family, my aunt and uncles and my grand.
Are they supportive? Do they like what you're doing?
Now that they're seeing the results that are coming out.
I bet you they like it now with all the prizes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, ballet. And now they suddenly think it's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
But winning all these things must be amazing. How much practice do you put in?
Definitely a lot of practice. That you put in a lot of effort.
Average day?
Well, I train from 6 o'clock in the mornings until 6:30 p.m. in the evenings.
The whole day?
The whole day. But it's kind of balanced. So I do like dancing in the morning, and then in the afternoon I do my school, and then I have like an evening class. So yeah.
That is phenomenal. Do you get any time to meet other people, to talk to other people? Or are you like a,
definitely
you're like a machine?
Competitions, going to an international competition, you meet new people.
So only really meeting other ballet dancers.
Well, they are incredible people.
No, sure, I have no doubt. And you are meeting them from all over the world.
Yeah, all over the world. You get to meet artistic directors. You get to actually speak to them. And yeah.
This is unreal. Really, isn't this amazing? Ben, this is some serious dedication, huh?
It really is.
Discipline.
Like, again, going back to the whole thing, you have to have this. You can't do this like so-so-ish. It's not like being in cricket where, you know, I'm a decent bowler.
Yeah,
I'll make the team. So much more.
And then rest on your laurels. I'm blown away, Leroy. This is phenomenal.
Oh, thanks.
What a success you are. I'm so proud to hear that there's a South African who's setting the world on fire. What's the big dream?
I honestly want to see myself like overseas dancing for a company or like several companies.
Who's the most prestigious company?
I don't know yet. I just, as I said, I don't want to rush into things. I just want to finish everything that I need to finish here in South Africa, and then I'll see what the world has to offer.
Flax, do you want to bring your camera in here, and maybe he can do a couple of little things here? We can see what he's up to. Can you do some little move here? Show Ben how you leap like he did. Let's see how well you do that.
Okay.
Yeah, come. And by the way, are your feet, because the girls always complain when they have to do like pirouettes and things, that their toes take a huge amount of strain. Yeah. Do your feet also take strain?
Well, the girls actually are the ones that wear point shoes, so have to stand on their toes. So we boys are lucky.
You don't have to do that.
We don't have to do that. We kind of
have to wear those very tight, sort of the pants, the very tight
pants.
You
have to wear tights, and you have to wear ballet shoes, and you have
to
wear
like that.
Well, not necessarily, but you kind of have to.
It's not the most flattering outfit in the world, huh?
Yeah, unless you have like big muscular legs and like huge quads.
Show us what you can do. Come on, let's see some of this talent. We're looking at Leroy Mokgatle, who is this multi award winning ballet dancer. He's in teen ballet here in South Africa, but he's just won this extraordinary, prestigious scholarship. And I'm going to give him some music, and let's see what he can do here.
He can bring his foot next to his ear.
All right, let's go. Leroy, show off. This is your chance to show off. Show everybody what you can do that no one else knows. He's got his arms out. He's lifting his one leg. He's standing on one leg.
I think that's what we all meant to do as humans.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
And the control. There's no... And he can point his fingers and point his toes and turn. Phenomenal. And lift his leg right up.
I think Sia's just
to the height of his head.
I think Sia's just exploded.
Sia, what do you think of that?
No, I just now feel fantastically awful about myself.
Yeah.
Did you see how easily he just lifted
exactly.
His...
Hey, Leroy,
what time was that on the clock? It was
Do you have to watch what you eat?
Not at all.
He's 16,
I'm
Gareth.
Very lucky.
So you could eat fast food all day and it wouldn't be a problem?
Well, I wouldn't try like eat healthy, but like on the odd occasions, like on a Friday,
you'll
I'm allowed
crazy.
To have like a Coke and fries.
Yeah. Nice. Well, listen, bro, well done to you. I mean, you're an inspiration, and all of these awards are obviously richly deserved, and well done to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And you let us know as soon as you've decided which school you're going to.
Yeah, I will.
And we'd love to know and keep in touch.
Yes.
You're obviously the guy to watch. Are you the best ballet dancer in the country in your age group? You must be, right?
I wouldn't say it. At the moment. No.
Come on, admit it.
I'm striving to be the best.
Don't be humble. There's no point. I want you to be convinced.
I'm not the best.
Really?
Yep.
Do you learn from
the
others?
We all make mistakes on stage, and I'm definitely not the best. I'm striving to be the best.
Wow. And can we watch you on YouTube? Are you on there?
Some
clips of you?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Because Clement says, I just saw Leroy on YouTube, and it's unbelievable.
Thank you.
Now, well done to you. All right, man. Well, listen, all the best to you, and thank you for coming in to see us this morning.
I know. The pleasure's all mine.
Wow. Leroy Mokgatle. Best to you, man. Going to kill it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Do you think South Africa needs to support ballet more? People like me need to stop talking nonsense and get out there and support.
I really do think so. I think you guys should.
Give me hell.
Swan Lake is not actually that bad. You just need to find the story behind it and like relate it to your personal life. And then just not just watching it. And like.
Let me see what I can do.
Yeah.
I'll watch you do your thing. It's very, very good. There we go. Leroy Mokhatle, thank you very much, sir. Very nice.
Thank you.
All right, it's 23 after 8. I got to go to Skype. Apparently, there's someone on the line there. It's Lee in South Korea. Ben, do you want to go to South Korea?
Sure, I've had Lee before.
Hey, Lee.
Hi.
What's happening?
Not much. I'm meant to be on a flight home at the moment, but my contract got extended, so I thought I'd call you guys and tell you that I'm looking at an amazing view and it's not so bad.
What do you do in South Korea?
I'm an English teacher to really, really young kids.
Wow. Apparently there's quite a lot of work there for English teachers because the South Koreans want to, you know, obviously they've got great products, they've got big industry there, it's a very IT-savvy country. They want to be part of the world economy and they want their kids to learn English at a young age, right?
Definitely, and I work at an academy that does Chinese as well, so they're trying to get their kids to also learn Chinese at a very young age, like 4 or 5, and I did their graduation ceremonies last week, and they're pretty good, actually. It's quite surprising.
Can you speak any Korean?
But it's a very innovative country, so they want people to go out and do business in places like America and the UK. Sure. So, yeah.
Can you speak Korean?
Oh, no. My Korean's very bad. I can count and say hello, and it's okay.
You wanna, I want to hear you count in Korean. Go for it.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Sorry, I'm standing on the side of a road. Il e sam sa o guk. No, sorry, yuk. Chil pal.
How much is yuk?
Chip.
How much is yuk?
Yuk is 6.
Okay, that's very good. And do you earn good money over there?
It's actually, I was earning a lot more than my last job. So yeah, it's pretty good. But I miss home and everything that happened over the last 6 months makes me want to go home even more. So yeah, I'm desperate to get back. I'm a bit sad that I'm not leaving as when I expected, but it's okay.
So you were about to board a plane and come back and then they suddenly told you, no.
Yeah.
No, we want you to stay.
Yeah, my replacement unfortunately had to go home to Canada because her dad was very sick. And the last minute they said to me, please, can you stay? I was supposed to be on a plane to Seoul this morning. And unfortunately, I am not.
All right, well, listen.
And then I would be flying from Seoul back home at some point. So,
You're not in North Korea. You're in South Korea, right?
No, I'm very south. I'm actually on an island called Jeju. And it's beautiful. So I'm very far south. I'm very far away from the border. But I have been to North Korea when I visited the DMZ. So I can say that I've actually stepped foot on North Korean territory.
Let's educate everybody who doesn't already know this, but I'm sure there are lots of our listeners who do. Sia Flax, do you know what the DMZ is?
I know the DMV.
Do you know
the DRC.
No, DMZ, Demilitarized Zone.
Oh,
is that where it's not ruled and governed?
It's a stretch of land. It's what, 1 kilometer wide?
Yes, on either side, I think.
Yeah,
and
it's a kilometer wide.
Across the whole of the 38th parallel. My geography is really bad.
Yeah.
But basically divides sort of democratic South Korea with communist North Korea on the other side.
Now, not to freak you out here, but how sure are you that they'll never like try to overrule DMZ?
You mean invade?
Yeah.
Well, this is what South Korea is always worried about.
Quite scary at times because there are tunnels actually that go under the border or under the DMZ. Because you know that's there's the most number of like mines in that area in the world. I think in the DMZ. And then so they've tunneled under a lot of that border, but they don't know about all the tunnels. They've discovered, I think, about 4, and they reckon that they're a lot small.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting place. And no human being has set foot in the DMZ for 50 years. Yeah. And if they do, they usually get shot or they get blown up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Exactly. But absolutely beautiful in terms of conservation. It's allowed the nature to sort of grow up there. And it's a beautiful sort of area where, like, all the nature's been allowed to just rehabilitate. And it's supposed to be absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, go into Google Earth and have a look at it. You'll see it's this big green strip in between the two countries. And it's amazing. No one goes there. Except, of course, if the antelopes stand on the mines, it also doesn't go well for them.
Yeah, and apparently the U.S. soldiers have heard that kind of stuff right from the bases there. So, because obviously the U.S. has quite a heavy military presence on the border.
No, it's pretty fascinating. The other thing about Korea that I think a lot of people are interested in, Korea has a lot of the products that we use every day, Samsung. What are the other big ones?
Samsung, LG is huge.
LG, yeah.
Hyundai.
Right.
And oh gosh, I've forgotten. Those are the really big three main companies, though. But like consumerism here is insane, and the kind of companies that just dominate the market, like Lotte and stuff like that, they really know how to market their products. I mean, you get Samsung Insurance here. I've never heard of that. It's like incredible. Life insurance.
Yeah. Well, listen, all the best to
and
you.
And Insurance School.
I hope you get to come back and visit South Africa again soon. But otherwise, you stay in South Korea and keep educating those people in English.
I will. And I'll keep downloading. I just sat at a coffee shop now and I downloaded all the podcasts from yesterday and the first one from today. So finally get to listen to those.
I love it, Lee. Thank you.
No problem.
All right,
cheers, guys.
Cheers. Bye. There we go. And don't get hit by a car or anything. It sounds like you're right in the road. I can't hear you. Sorry. There we go. All right, very good. There's Lee from the demilitarized zone. That's where she lives. If only. But isn't that fascinating that they've got this huge swathe of...
Yeah.
We've got the space between the two countries and no one goes.
But to think, like, no matter what the world does, it becomes more liberal or more understanding, this thing is in place. And it's like, there's there.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing about being human in the 21st century. There's very little of this kind of strange stuff left, but it is curious. It does make the world interesting. We'll take your calls, just like Lee's from South Korea. If you've got something on your mind, 0861 555 189. If you'd like to message us on Twitter, you can do so directly from the app. And if you'd like to get hold of us on WeChat, you could do that too. Message to screen directly from the WeChat screen.
Now, I don't understand. I'm busy researching this DMZ, and there are tours around and in it, and they're trying to make it sound appealing by using taglines like the world's most dangerous border.
Yeah.
Who exactly wants to go now?
No, it totally is, dude. I mean, there are forts on either side. It's unbelievable. And the South Koreans are always very worried that the North Koreans are going to invade. North Korea has, I think, the third or fourth largest standing army on Earth. But they don't have enough food for all of them. And now, of course, they're testing out these nukes.
Yeah.
That mad little dwarf Kim Jong-un, who's in charge of the country, is trying to get nuclear weapons. It's all very messy, but fascinating at the same time. And you know why it's divided on that 38th parallel? During the Korean War, at the end of it, they just decided, you know what, enough of this. We'll just cut the country in half. North goes this way, south goes that way. That's it. Done.
Yikes. Makes you grateful for this country.
Yeah. Well, that's what could happen if, you know, if these movements on university get their way and they decide to throw out the Rainbow Nation idea. And we decide to say that, oh, well, Nelson Mandela sold out and all that shit. Because this is the alternative. North and South Korea, which will not go well for anybody. Obviously, I'm being glib. It's not entirely true. Let me give you a quick look at what's going on cliffcentral.com for the course of the day. Unbranded with Timothy Maurice. He's got comedian Lois Ogola in to talk about using comedy to confront hard topics. I love Lois. That's going to be a hell of a show. The Good Stuff with Brendan Lidicue and Kerry Stein. AJ Swanepoel from Headway Chwane will pop past to tell you about their brain awareness campaign before Pam Green from Second Chances provides an update on all their life-changing projects. Sipping Tea is on at 11 o'clock with Dumi Morake. Mabali's away, so Dumi has a chance to play. You can hear all the Bitches Be Back stuff that she was involved in, along with all the other shenanigans we've come to expect from this giant of South African comedy. Then The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg and Kate Pater. Ben, do you have any idea what they might be talking about today?
Something student orientated.
Nope.
Because there's law in there at the moment.
The Wedding Expo. This is what makes this show fascinating.
I was never going to get that.
The Wedding Expo?
You've never got it, right? Now, the Wedding Expo attracts 12,500 visitors. Takes place next week. The show's all about I do. What does it really mean when you say for richer or for poorer? Also in studio, a couple who've recently decided to tie the knot, their love story and their plans for that special future date. And they'll obviously cover the aspects of how the law affects getting involved. Marriage. Settling down with somebody. Who owns what?
See, people always say these conversations are so unromantic as you're about to get married, but they're absolutely necessary.
You've got to have them. The Daily Maverick Show, Kingsley Kapuri and the team, bringing you the biggest news stories from South Africa and the world at large, separating the real news from the propaganda and giving you expert commentary and analysis. Laughter Therapy with Lorraine Maisel is back, makes a triumphant return at 2 o'clock today. That's Lorraine Maisel. If you're in need of some laughter and some lighthearted banter, you can join Law as she reminds you there's more to life than working, eating, sleeping. It's time to live a little. Michael Jackson's In Conference. Professor Tim Noakes is the guest there. This is a big day. Loiso Gola, Tim Noakes. Huh?
Well, especially where Tim is in his career right now.
Well,
the whole lawsuit.
Apparently, he bursts into tears during his conversation with Michael Jackson.
Well, he did in court the other day, too.
You must listen to this.
I hope Michael didn't goad him with a donut, though.
No, come on, Tim. What's the story on you? What do you eat? Donuts? Do you want some sugar, Tim? Can I bring you a coffee with three sugars in it? You watch. This is going to be one of the best shows there. In Conference, Michael Jackson between 2:45 and 3 o'clock. Just 15 minutes. That's all you need. That's what he says. At 3 o'clock, it is Teboho Mafodi, Bulelani Balabala, and of course 360 Biz. And then finally wrapping it up at the end of the day, Aria Kelman, Kelman and Cliff Central. Prepare yourself. It is time for the shockingly controversial Ladies Round Table. And calm your nerves. Dave Greenway comes in after that to bring you a tech update. And finally, to ensure that you're up to date with all things, Deshni Subramani brings you the dish out. Good stuff, right?
Yep.
Can't complain. Yup. Oh, yup. Is this person on Skype or are they on phone? What's the story here, Flex?
It's David. He's on the phone. He wants relationship advice from Gareth.
Oy vey, really? Does he know what a bad customer I am for that kind of advice? All right, David, good morning.
Morning, Gareth and team.
Hey, David.
Great show, man.
Thank
Great
you, brother.
I want to ask you and Ben, preferably, some relationship advice, and I'll keep it short. But I think I need some tough love from you guys.
Right.
I went out with a girl for 4 years. We stayed together, and 2 weeks before I asked her to get married, she sent me a WhatsApp message and said to me, "Oh no, you know, I'm 27. I need to be single for a while, blah, blah, blah." That was about 6 months ago. We got back together a month ago, stayed together, had sex, big shebang. Mm-hmm. I asked her last week what she's doing for this week, and she said, no, she's got a few dates, she wants to meet some new people, so she's fucking me around. What's your opinion?
Well, you answered your own question. She's fucking you around, really.
Does it?
Yeah.
So there's nothing I can do.
Like, I'd love to give you an answer that you can mull over, but there's just nothing. So what she's going to do is she's going to keep doing this until she can't get dates anymore, and then she's going to go, oh, well, you know, you're there, and you're safe, I'm going to head to you. So,
and I see that CrossFit every day.
Yeah.
You got to stop doing terrible. You should stop doing CrossFit then.
See, the problem is, I think CrossFit's actually ruined this for you, because now, I mean, what does she look like before CrossFit?
No. She's fatter now than she used to be.
Okay.
Well, all the more reason to get out of there.
Sorry, that's a very short conversation.
It's difficult. But thanks, guys.
How long did you say you guys were together? 5 years.
Good luck, man.
Yeah, we stayed together for 4 years. And yeah, we're together for 5 years.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
but she's a tough cookie. She's very cold. She's like Gareth, like fucking cold. She just turns around and says, well, she wants to fuck around at the moment, and that's it.
Well, dude, I know it hurts, even though, you know, I pretend to not have feelings myself. It's got to hurt when you're with someone that long and you care about them and they say something like that. It must have made you feel bad, right?
Yeah, the thing is, you know, you always look at it from a self-reflecting kind of thing. You know, I'm a good-looking guy and I'm intelligent. It's like, what did I do wrong? You know, what
no,
did
you
I
don't
do
sound
wrong?
That intelligent. Don't give yourself too much credit.
No, well, it must be the Afrikaans accent.
But you know what? You haven't.
I'm kidding.
You haven't done anything wrong. This is what these relationships kind of make you like think that you have done something wrong, but you haven't. You've just been a guy. We've all gone through this at some stage in our life, so this is just your time.
Yeah, I think I need some tips from Ben on how to land someone like Daniela, I think.
Well, look, everyone's hopefully got the right person in their life, and you just need to find yours away from CrossFit, maybe.
Oh, that sounds so romantic. All right, listen, get on with it. Come on, find someone.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Have a good show.
Move on, dude. Like you can do better. Come on.
I'll do that. Thanks, guys.
All right, let us know how it goes, all right?
I will do. Have a good day. Right.
Bye-bye.
Yes, bye.
That's David with relationship advice. We really do cover it all, Ben.
It's a very common thing in life, though. As soon as a woman treats you terribly, you think, well, hang on a second.
Maybe it's me.
It's not. It's not anyone's fault. Just move on.
And the same goes the other way. Sometimes there are girls who the guy treats her really badly, and she thinks, oh, but I'm sure he still loves me. Well, probably
only
not.
Only I try harder.
It's like, not your
don't
fault.
Don't try harder.
Get out of there while you still can. All right, Ben... I went to court a while ago. You may remember it was fairly well publicized.
Yeah.
And it was all over the news. And in the court, I met this guy called Pule, who first I thought he was maybe just hanging around because he didn't have anything to do. And I got talking to him. He had come to, first of all, he's been listening to us for a while. Second of all, he'd come because he's a law student and he was interested in the case. And I just thought that was really cool of him. So I think we took down your number or we got hold of you somehow. And I remember I promised you you'd come in here and we'd have a proper chat sometime. How are you, Pule?
I'm good. And you, Cliff, it's good,
man.
To see you.
Yeah, I'm glad you could make it.
Yes.
You were there, huh? In the court.
I was there in court. Those were exciting times as far as I'm concerned.
I hated it, but yeah.
Yes, of course, from your side. But in terms of the law side of it,
you thought it was interesting?
I thought that was interesting. Because our country is going into the interesting times of racism issues, and he has a celebrity, Gareth Leaf, implicated in this big topical issue in our country of racism. And the guy has been involved in the society. You know, the guy has been involved in Idol's other projects.
Mm-hmm.
He has been seen working with black people.
Mm-hmm.
He has been seen, you know, not showing any tendencies of racism against black people.
Sure, thank goodness.
I'm a parent myself. I've closely watched, you know, Idols with my children, and from the judgment side of it, you know, as soon as this remarks, you know, people saying no, there could be some racism from Gareth. I watched this guy very closely. And then I'm now commenting on the previous, I think, 2015 Idols.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at this guy, and it felt to me again that, no, this guy is a bit more lenient even to black people. And yet there are these remarks that he's racist. I really wanted to pick up that racism, but I couldn't see it until he was implicated in the racism issue. For making a comment about the Constitution, actually confirming the Constitution, actually promoting the Constitution, because our Constitution, it's about actually confirming as well as promoting it. So he was doing what the legal fraternity is supposed to do. And now here's the poor guy who goes to court in order for the court to confirm that he's actually trying to promote the Constitution itself. So for me, those were interesting times.
So you arrived because I met you upstairs at the courtroom and you said you were interested in this. What's your current involvement in the law? What are you doing that involves the law right now?
I am at Wits University doing the postgraduate LLB.
Mm-hmm.
And
how long to still go?
I'm left with 1 year next year.
All right.
To complete it. And part of my courses that I'm doing is the constitutional law.
Okay.
Yes, Bill of Rights.
And but now, Pule, how old are you now?
At this age, I'm 55 years of age.
55? And you've exactly. got, you said you've got kids. How old are they?
My first-year-old girl is 33 years of age.
Wow.
And then my second-year-old girl is 19 years. She's at UCT doing social sciences. And then I have my my boy at 13 years. He just started high school.
So you obviously haven't been in the law up to now. You decided at some point you wanted to go and study this. I admire people, by the way, who study later on in life and decide they want to do something that they've always had an interest in. What got you interested in law?
I've always wanted to do law, but because of peer pressure along my life, my friend actually influenced me to do industrial engineering. And I ended up also doing, you know, a degree in administration. So I was thrown out of my course, to be honest with you. And my sister, she's an attorney right now. She's got a law firm at Jimiston, Refilio Masilo Attorneys. And this is where I got inspiration from, because I used to help her in her office to do some work. And, you know, that interest, that childhood interest, started to come back. And then I decided, okay, it is never too late to learn. Let me go back to school and do law.
And at 55 now, you're finishing off your law degree and you're going to practice law.
Exactly.
That's going to be, this is my intention. Do you want to be an attorney?
I want to be an advocate, actually.
Advocate, yeah.
I want to be an advocate because really I'm interested in the court work itself, you know. Talking to the judges, arguing your cases.
Proper litigation.
Proper litigation, yes.
Did you get, while we were doing, you know, my case and everything, you get to meet Dalimpofu?
Yeah, Dalimpofu, it was not for the first time that I met him.
Yeah?
He worked with my sister in the past.
Oh, really?
And sometimes when I visit court, I see him, we talk, he knows me, you know. Yes.
Now, yeah. It's quite interesting. I think in first year law, they made us go to court and watch a couple of cases. Yeah. But the more time you spend actually watching the practice of law, the better you get, right?
Exactly.
It's like a free class, and anyone can go into a court.
I think anyone can go into a court without even legal representation, really. Yeah. If you go to court and see observe processes, and you can ask here and there, how are the processes to go into court, and you can even emulate those people, how they talk, you know. Your ladyship, you heard that.
Yeah, sure.
Your lordship, you heard that. Things like those. Very interesting to be in a court of law, really.
Is this something that you think you'd be very naturally good at? Is it just a thing that you enjoy doing, or is it something that you're going to have to work hard at?
I think I'll have to work hard at it, and I think it's something that I'll naturally, you know, enjoy, I think, yes.
Were you happy with what happened in my case?
I was definitely happy. Actually,
so was I.
Actually, I predicted. I asked a few people. I asked my children, what's your view? And my children were saying, Gareth is going to win this case. It's only that there's a hype in the society. And in the past, Gareth made some comments about a certain minister. And then now there are people who are still aggrieved about that, and they would like to throw this thing way out of, you know, where it belonged, you know. And I asked a few friends and some lecturers, professors at VETS, to say, how do you see this case? They said, no, he's gonna win it. I mean, there is no ground for that action by Mnet, really.
I'll tell you what, I didn't know. I thought right up to the very moment the judge read the thing, I thought, oh, this is 50-50. Could go either way.
Yes, as you know, in court there are appeal processes, there are review processes. All these processes, they've been made for in case the judge, you know, is not acting according to the law. But I think that I think your case was very, very obvious, and it was a winnable case. Although one thing that worried me a bit, you know, when you go into when you do an application in court, you mm-hmm. know, you do an agent court application.
Mm-hmm.
There are two things. The first hurdle that you have to go through is to determine the agency of the matter. And before you go to the merits of the court.
Right.
Now, I was a bit doubtful about the
agency.
Yes. Because normally when you are contesting the contract, you know, of employment or any other contract in an agent court, normally they'll throw it out to say, okay, it's because there should, what will be required will be...
There are other remedies available.
Yeah, there are other remedies. Right. You'll have to bring witnesses. You'll have to bring evidence. So it's something... That application would need to be an action court process, you know. So I was worried about that, but I think the way you treated it, it was very, very interesting, because your approach was, let's make it, you know, an interim, interim application to say, okay, let Gareth go where he was. And then the whole matter of his suspension will be attended in the normal motion roll of the court, you know?
Right.
And then that was
I'm not even
that
sure
was
I know
on
as
the
much
point.
As you do about this.
You know, I was in court there. I asked even other advocates. There were very senior advocates there who were coming to watch, you know.
Could
the
you
case.
Believe the size of the legal team that Mnet brought?
Whew.
It's a lot
huge.
Of people, right?
And besides,
I think you tried to get in the lift with us. There wasn't space after all of them got in.
Of course, of course. And they had a very leading advocate in the country.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. And, Vim Trengove.
Yes, Mr. Trengove. And I thought, Mr. Trengove, what is it that he's defending? Maybe he's going to raise the question of the agency. But he didn't raise it. It was sort of a surprise. It was very, very exciting. And... what surprised me, they fought, you know, Trengove and Mr. Dalimpofu,
yeah.
They fought in court after the whole action. They shook hands. And then there was another constitutional court case.
Where
you know?
They were up against each other, or they were in the same team?
They were in the same team there. This is how the legal fraternity work. It's very fantastic, really.
Well, listen, man, I really appreciate you being there. I know that you were there because you're curious about how the case would go and everything, but I appreciated you coming up and saying hello and saying that you were a supporter. You know, it's nice when you're not necessarily feeling good.
Yes.
To have someone come up and support you.
Of course, Gareth, you know, we are living in very interesting times, and people tend to try to throw the legacy of Nelson Mandela, you know, away, because he worked for national reconciliation. You have Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who works for reconciliation, and people really, they are missing the point this time around. I think somebody with a cool mind must try to bring our nation together now.
I think so too. There's a lot of hot-headedness and a lot of people saying crazy, angry, outrageous things. It's not necessarily helpful, right?
It's not helpful at all, because now we do not want our country to regress. And you at your press conference, watched your press conference,
mm-hmm.
and you were saying,
were you satisfied
talk.
With that? Were you? Do you think
was,
we handled it all right?
I think you handled it all right.
Thank you.
As Dalimpofu said, you know, in court, that you know, you are a free spirit that that talks. it was exciting to watch you there, and most importantly, when you said that let the races of South Africa start to talk about the issue of racism.
Not ignore each other.
Not ignore each other. Because by ignoring each other, we are going to have our country retrogressing to where we want it and not to go.
Well, you're going to make one hell of a lawyer. I mean, you sound like you know your stuff better than most already. And I think it's great that you're studying again at 55 years old. It's amazing.
Yes, in class, I'm the oldest student there, and okay, there are other students at, you know, at VETS, and I'm really determined. I think I'm still having more years, 30 years that I can live.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you could keep practicing until you're an old man.
Very much old. Yeah. 80 years, 85.
Sure. Yeah. Definitely.
Yes, I can be a judge.
And for what it's worth, you don't look 55, so you're doing okay. You should last a long time.
Yes.
Like if Warren Buffett can still manage billions every day on numbers and stuff, and he's in his 80s.
Late 80s.
Yes. You totally got this.
Yes.
All right, Bule, but thank you for coming in to see us this morning. It was very, very good to meet you. And again, I appreciate your support.
Thanks very much, Gareth. I'm happy to see you being relieved after the court case. Being kicking as you are kicking now. And I'm so happy. I'm so excited about you. Maybe you need to consider, coming back and creating a foundation at some stage.
Sure.
A foundation where you'll help even the other races.
For sure.
To show that really.
Well, you'll be the judge by then, right?
I will be the judge by then.
There we go. All right. Thank you, man.
Okay. Thanks very much, Gareth. Thank you.
Bye. There's Pule Masilo, who really, we met back in January. Just a cool guy there to support. Interested in the law, studying it at the moment. Very cool story. All right, listen, here's what you need to know. ISIS have taken drastic new steps in recruiting new soldiers. They're now putting women on the terrorist front lines. It's been seen as a great decision in this life, but there appears to be some confusion as to what it will mean next. Up to now, male suicide bombers have been promised lots of virgins, but for women, they need to create a similar incentive. Lots and lots of husbands seems a bit of a stretch logistically, so some suggestions are that the women who give their lives to Allah could wear shorts in the afterlife, or drive cars, or be able to watch Jake Gyllenhaal movies. Wouldn't that be nice? In other news, Jacob Gedleghi Sazuma's new 4 billion rand jet is back in the cards. Apparently already it's in the process of being purchased. The old one is very old now. It recently became the butt of a few jokes in the latest DQ magazine, a magazine for third world dictators, on the pulse of modern trends. As a subscriber to the publication, Zuma threw the issue at Pravin Gordhan and said, "Just make it happen, or else." And finally, Gianni Infantino has had his first corruption allegation leveled at him. He is, of course, not worried about this as president of the organization, that's FIFA. He has special manuals at his desk which he can consult and defuse any situation with. He also has a head of spin, a team of bodyguards, his own division of Ray Donovans, and a Ukrainian man known as The Blade who deals with after-hours matters. So, good luck to those who want to try and take this guy on in future with random allegations. He will take you down. Timothy Maurice is next with the great Loiso Gola. I'm looking forward to that. Have an excellent day in the company, cliffcentral.com. We will see you tomorrow. Cliffcentral.com.